It's hour number two of Garden Talk, live at North Bay News Talk Radio, KSRO. Thank you for joining us this morning. We mean that. Gwen, Steve, in the greenhouse, as always, from 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings. And would love to hear from you. If you have a gardening question, if you have a garden comment, if you would like to bring up something that you'd like us to address, if you'd like to shoot us a photograph of a gardening plant that is either in distress or defies identification, we can tackle that also. And we're pretty good about all of the above. If you need some recommendations for a spot in your yard or garden that's not easy to grow plants, that maybe has too much shade, shoot a photo of that area with some dimensions and we'll give you some suggestions about what might work best in that area. Is it time to prune? Is it time to spray? So much. Even though things look somewhat in repose and in hibernation out in the yard and garden, things in a matter of weeks, really by mid-February, March, things will start to be popping. So take a look around now. And also, don't neglect your potting shed where all your tools have been sitting, probably with moisture and maybe a little bit of rust, and have been ignored. I'm speaking of me. And some of my loppers, especially my bypass loppers, really need sharpening. So I'm going to address this week looking at my pruners, looking at the loppers. Even though it's something I don't want to address quite yet, I needed to address this now. And that's something to even to talk about during the next few minutes, is care of our tools. And I know you brought in a little
let's
something.
Let's not.
and certainly want to invite Kevin from Petaluma to give us a call back to chat about his pomegranate question, which we could not get to last hour. And that includes everyone out there, no one on hold, and we didn't carry on over anybody from the first hour. 636-1350, you can get right in with no waiting for Garden Talk. And you can, of course, always shoot us an email anytime, and we'll get right to those emails too. Steve@KSRO.com.
I have a question for you, Steve, speaking of pruning and stuff. When you go out there and you're starting your day with pruning, do you ever just kind of like, you know, start with one plant and then you're like, you know what, I really can't handle this, I'm going to go on to something else, I'll get back to you later?
Absolutely.
And then you look at the next plant and you're like, I don't want to work on you either.
Absolutely.
Keep going.
That's right.
Yeah.
It has to call to me. It has to feel it has to feel right. There's something metaphysical about it, rather than just rote, okay, boom, 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 boom. No, there's more involved in that, as always.
Oh, I was just curious. It's not only me.
So you have not addressed your tools either. They need to be oiled and sharpened before some serious pruning takes place in the next couple months.
I leave all that to my husband.
Oh, that's fortunate.
He prunes. He sharpens. But you know what, though? With little hand trowels and things that we don't really use at this time of the year. I have a 5-gallon plastic bucket that has some horticultural sand in it. It's really fine sand.
Smart.
And it has, I dumped in some vegetable oil, canola oil or something, whatever I did. So it's kind of a little bit, you know, oily.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll brush off the mud off the trowel, and then I stick it down into that sand, and I'll shove it in there a few times, and then it cleans, and I don't know, it just does a good job of getting the rest of the stuff off the little trowels. And I'll take a big shovel too, and I'll stick it down there as best I can, and it kind of gets rid of a lot of the grit and stuff.
So
in there.
Do you want to know what's really weird? I just read this tip this morning when prepping for the show.
You did?
About 7 o'clock this morning, and I made a note to do this with my tools. I never thought to do the sand and oil treatment to keep those blades in pretty good condition. And I saw this tip on a website that I recommended to you called northcoastgardening.com. It's a gal up in Arcata. And in her website, she talks about keeping your tools in pretty good condition, and she runs a landscaping company.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously a lot of her people out there are using tools, and you don't want to just throw them aside. She uses the sand bucket technique.
Okay, but when you said pruners, I probably wouldn't stick my
no,
pruners.
No, like loppers, these is what she uses.
A lopper, okay, yeah. And you know, you just be careful not to get the sand into the joints and mechanism
Correct.
Parts and stuff. Yeah, just stick the blades in there. Oh, how funny.
Kevin is back and would like a word about his pomegranate. Thanks for giving us a call back, Kevin. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi.
Go
Hi,
right
how
ahead.
How are you? So, I love pomegranates. My wife, not so much, because they are a mess when you eat them. About 2 years ago, I went to the Scion event, and I got a pomegranate, and I just stuck it someplace without thinking too much about it. It obviously does not get enough sun. It's about, you know, 2 feet tall in terms of, you know, stalks. I'm thinking of transplanting it, and I'm wondering where in terms of sun. And I'm thinking about actually putting it along a fence and maybe, what do you call that, where you...
Espalier?
Espalier, yeah. Uh-huh. Espalier. The pomegranate. And what's a good time to do it? And how should I do it? Or is it one of those ones that doesn't like to be transplanted, et cetera?
No, you can go ahead and transplant it now. This is a good time of the year. And especially okay. since it's only 2 feet tall, you have a manageable yeah. tree to work with. So that's great.
Okay.
The
okay.
fencing part, as long as the tree is going to be in front of the fence and it's yes. facing the south, southwest, yes. so it needs sun all day long.
Okay.
Okay, to produce some fruits and to even... make them sweet. So okay. sun all day, good draining soil. It can handle, you know, a clay kind of soil, but, you know, put a lot of compost on top of the ground and water it regularly, at least okay. for a couple of years or so until it starts to get established and really starts to take off. So
okay. And one last thing. It's in an area where there is, you know, gophers are very fond of that area. Are you a believer in gopher cages for things like that, or...
If they're big enough to accommodate the eventual size of the plant, yes. Sometimes we, you know, plant something in the gopher basket, like a 5-gallon gopher basket, and you're going to put your pomegranate tree in there. Well, that pomegranate's going to be, you know, 15 feet high and 10, 15 mm-hmm. feet wide. It's going to the root system's going to outgrow that gopher basket.
Oh, okay.
So the bigger the basket and the sturdier, the better the quality, the wire, the longer it's going to last, the better the yeah. chances of the plant taking, you know, not having to deal with gopher issues, getting its roots
good.
Chewed on. So, yeah.
All right.
And if you
all
have right, to thanks. Put gopher traps out also, then do whatever you have to do to protect
okay.
your tree. Okay.
All right. And any particular fertilizer or anything that I plant?
No, just compost. Just some compost.
Okay.
And it, you know, if you think about it, if you're going to have a struggle with controlling those gophers, maybe get a big giant container. You know, those big galvanized water troughs or something, and plant the tree in there.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even call them a tree. They're a big multi-trunk shrub.
They're sort of like a big, great big bush.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Think of that instead of putting it in the ground.
Okay.
All right, good. Kevin?
All right, thank you.
Okay, good luck.
Good. Excellent tutorial, Gwen. From Santa Rosa, Larry would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO this morning. Hi, Larry. What can we do for you?
Good morning. You guys are beautiful. We love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, you go to do your gardening and you buy the little six packs of squash or corn, and they've got like two seeds and one little... you know, compartment.
Uh-huh.
Do you just plant those together for the squash and the corn or whatever else they stick together, or do you try to separate them?
No, you can leave them together. Don't
okay.
separate them.
Okay.
I have the jumbo six packs, and I sow two seeds of corn per cell, and then I plant them just like that, just so I have two stalks of corn growing together.
Okay.
Okay, that way, just in case... one dies, I've got one right there. And I've never had any issues with two growing next to each other. The squashes and cucumbers and all that, when you buy these little starts at the nurseries, I mean, they want to have something in the containers to sell you. So the more plants that are in the container, the bigger everything looks. So you think, you know, you're getting a lot of plants for your money. So unless there's more than three seeds in a little... growing together, then go ahead and plant them all together. If there's, say, four or five together, don't pull the little seedlings out because you're only going to rip up the roots of the remaining plants, and then you can kill, you'll probably kill those as well. So just get some scissors and you cut the plants off that you don't want right at the soil line. And that's it. You don't disturb anybody else doing it that way.
Okay, so I planted some artichokes last spring, and they're, you know, they winter through, and they're like two plants together, and they're doing fine. So
that's okay, good. Well, that's a perennial, and yeah. They produce more babies. So in time, you'll want to dig up some of those babies and plant them someplace else, and give everybody some elbow room.
Okay, and then last spring, I called you about a photinia with the black spots and the leaves falling off.
Oh yeah.
So it was, this is a. There's two main plants. It spans about 10, 12 feet of the fence, and it's up about 8 feet. And getting ready to tear it out, I just cut off the lower branches and all the leaves up to about almost to the top of the fence. So what you ended up with is this kind of a floating hedge above the top of the fence.
Uh-huh.
And it recovered really well. It's really healthy, and it made it through the summer. And I'm just hoping it'll make it through this spring without, you know, getting the disease back in a bad way.
Yeah, well, you've
so
got a
50-50
chance of if the spores are there still, you've got the host plant, and the conditions are right, it's going to infect your plant. So look at the leaves every once in a while. Look underneath the leaves, and you can see if there's any little black spots developing. And if you do, I'm sorry to say that the disease is still there. But if you don't see anything and, you know, good air circulation you've got going there, then, you know, keep our fingers crossed that those plants are going to be fine.
Great. And finally, I've got a really nice lilac bush that's grown up fence tall and spread out. And each season they just clip off the, you know, the dried stems from the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right way to prune that?
That's exactly what you do.
Okay.
And you don't have to do any pruning if the branches aren't growing in the wrong direction, if they're not in your way of a walkway or anything. Just leave well enough alone and just continue to snip off those dead flowers, and yeah, be good to go.
Great.
We just need some cold weather to tell them to start kicking in some flowers for spring. So that's what's
they go
missing.
First, and then the honeysuckle, and then the jasmine, and we potato vines, and it just goes all around the yard. So.
Wow. No reason for you to ever be inside when you have all those wonderful fragrances outside. So.
No.
Very
no.
Cool, Larry. Good for you. Good, good, good. So
okay,
far, so,
so
good,
much.
Then. You're welcome.
Thanks. Wonderful talking with you, Larry. And I appreciate how well organized you were, too. And you've got a kind of almost a visual tour of your backyard with all those lilacs and everything else she's got.
Yeah, you can do
the
good.
Vines and all that.
Yeah.
Must be a lovely place to spend some time. Mm-hmm. Mary would like a word with us about her roses. Would you like to talk roses for a minute, Gwen?
Let's go for it.
All right. Mary, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Hi.
Thank you very much. Sure. I have a couple in pots that I haven't done much to the last couple of years, kind of benign neglect. And one of them is at least 4 feet tall, kind of hanging over. And I'm wondering, it's a Julia Child. And I'm wondering how far back should I cut it? How far, what size should it be when I, you know, cut it back? How tall?
Okay, look at the plant. To give you a quick tutorial of rose pruning, look at the thorns. Look at the colors. If they're grayish, whitish color on the stem, don't cut into that cane. If they're a purpley, maroon color on the stem or in the cane, that's where you're going to cut. And you could go back as far as you want, depending on how compact you want the plant. Cut out all the little spindly growth that's like thinner, like spaghetti looking. Cut all that stuff out. Cut any dead canes out. And whatever's left with those canes that have the thorns with color on them, you can cut above a bud where it's facing towards the outside of the plant. That way the canes will continue to grow outwards. So you could cut.
But I was wondering, you know, how much do you cut off these? Because
anywhere.
You could, I remember being someone gave a lesson and they cut them down like a foot tall. And I thought, I feel like a murderer. I can't do that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't follow that advice. No, because the plants get bigger and bigger every year. The canes get older, and those older canes you don't really want to cut into. You want to cut into the new growth. So you can cut, say one of the canes is 3 feet long. Then you can cut anywhere on that cane above a bud that's facing outwards. And as long as it's on the cane that has the thorns that have color on them, that maroon color, then you're good to go.
My main thing is, like, should the thing be 2 feet tall after I'm finished with it? Or 1 foot tall is too short, you said. So how much, you know, how tall should it be coming out of the pot when I'm done?
Yeah, don't worry about how high the plant is going to be at the end, because where those canes are, where, you know, however long those old canes are, they could be 2 feet tall themselves. So you don't want to cut down into those canes, okay, because they have that the grayish white colored thorns.
Yeah, so, the bark is kind of gray, right.
Not the bark. We're talking about the thorns, the color of the thorns.
The thorns.
Not the bark.
Oh, okay.
So if the thorns are white.
Okay, some of the canes, for want of a better word, have kind of grayish and they're old looking, and the others are green.
Okay, so those guys are the old canes. Off of those, they're going to have newer canes. Okay?
Yes.
Those newer canes, if the thorns are that maroon color, those are the canes that you're going to cut, and you can cut anywhere along there, is what I'm saying.
All
so
right,
the height of the plant, the end result, doesn't matter. We don't care how
it
big it's...
doesn't matter.
No, doesn't matter. Oh, you just want to cut in the new growth and not go so far down that you cut into old growth that the plant doesn't have enough energy to keep growing, or it sends up spindly shoots and you've kind of ruined your plant. So be conservative. Okay.
Okay. And the other question is, those ones in the pots, do I need to, you know, you don't like to do fertilizing. What do you do with the ones in the pots which have been in there for a couple of years?
Well, if you...
Do you like throw compost on top of it or something?
You can, yeah. If they've been growing well for you during the year, you could just add some more compost on top of the soil. If they've been looking a little peaked, maybe you can poke some holes in the soil and put in some Osmocote fertilizer. That's a, you know, slow-release fertilizer, or you can add some organic rose food if you want.
Right.
If they're having issues, but if not, a little sprinkle of compost on top of the pots.
Okay, fine. Okay, and I have one more question about climbing roses. I have two that are, kind of got out of control, because the last couple of years I said I was distracted. And one is about maybe 10 feet tall, and the other one is, they're probably both about 10 feet tall. How far down do I want to cut those? So they can, they're kind of straggly, so that they, you know, start off going up again in a nice way.
Well, if you want to have them growing up on something, you don't want to cut them back. So now they have to grow again to get up over the structure that you want them to. So,
not to do that. All right.
Yeah. So tie it down wherever you want the new growth to go. So it's growing. And then you could do a little bit of cutting, a little bit of pruning, I should say, off of each little shoot. And keep the main structure, keep the main canes. And don't, like I said, don't cut it all back where it just has to grow again to get up over the structure.
That's what people used to say, and I always thought it was kind of strange. And
yeah.
I don't do that. I just feel like a burglar for one thing. But the other thing is they are kind of straggly and too tall right now.
But then bend them over. Tie them to wherever they have to go. And then they won't be scraggly. You know, and then you can cut off a lot of miscellaneous growth. If there's a lot of canes growing in all different directions, you can thin it out and just keep the main canes growing where you want them to go, and that's that.
Thanks so much for your call, Mary. We need to take a break, and we will be right back. Stacy, calling from Sebastopol, your call coming up next. Live radio is always at the best radio, Saturday mornings on KSRO. It's Garden Talk Live.
Larkfield hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly 2 decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Cannabis is legal in California and has become the most rigorously tested agricultural product on the planet. Can I Help You? A Cannabis Talk Show is brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a leading local cannabis retailer. Joe Sullivan is the leading cannabis expert at Mercy Wellness.
It's taken me years to learn how to find the best products for Mercy customers. I'm dedicated to them and getting only the best I can find. Many of the products I like and that I buy for Mercy customers are created by people who had a powerful need themselves. Maybe a family member or friend had cancer or another illness, and they were compelled to help them, so they develop a product to help. I constantly ask, what do our customers want? And then I go and find the best products on the market.
Tune in to Mercy's Can I Help You every other Friday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO. And hear stories from the cannabis frontier.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself.
I'm giving Jeb's basement renovations 1 star. He kept asking me what's behind the walls down there. I'm like, why? What do you know?
No matter how hard you work for your small business, online reviewers will find something to complain about.
And then he's like, you can trust me with the job. And I'm all like, trust?
And while Progressive can't save you from these trolls, we can help you save money on commercial, auto, and business insurance.
Yeah, he charged me less than he said he would, which is lying.
Get a quote online today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliated and third-party insurers.
This portion of Garden Talk is brought to you by Atlas Pavers, now open in Santa Rosa, 1710 4th Street. Schedule a free design consultation online at AtlasPaversCo.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Hope you'll keep KSRO with you through the whole morning at 11:05. Chef John Ash and I in the KSRO kitchen on the Good Food Hour as we welcome Professor Paul Friedman from Yale University, one of our most popular guests. We've had Paul on a couple times over the last 6-7 years. His new book, and he came out from San Francisco and joined us in the KSRO kitchen, is called American Cuisine and How It Got That Way. He's very articulate, a lot of fun, and very insightful, and hope you'll be able to stick around for the 11 o'clock hour. Calling with a question about pomegranate from Sebastopol is Stacy. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
Morning. What can we do for you?
Good morning. First of all, thank you for your show. I enjoy it every week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your caller, 2 callers ago, sparked interest in my pomegranate tree, which I've had for, or bush, I guess you call it. I've had it in the ground for a number of years. So at least 5 or 7. And it's a non-fruit bearing, I think is what it's called, but it does get fruit. I'm not sure what that means.
Hey, so what did you say?
She said non-fruit bearing.
Oh, non-bearing.
Ornamental.
Ornamental pomegranate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it still gets pomegranates on it, right?
Yeah, little ones.
Yeah. Okay. So last year it got like 3 big ones. This year it's got about 25 little ones. And they're just kind of hanging there. It looks kind of dormant. It's got a lot, you know, it gets all scrappy looking. The green part of it gets all scrappy. And I'm not sure if I should pull those pomegranates off or trim it up or what to do.
I would leave the little pomegranates alone. They're not edible. I mean, so they're very sour tasting and all. Leave them, and eventually they're going to break open, and then the birds will come and eat them, and then eventually they'll fall off themselves. And if they don't, then you can just get some pruners and just chop and cut them all off. So it just depends on how long you want to look at them for, especially when they start to become a little unsightly looking. After they break open, they start to turn brown, and you know, and then if they start to get moldy sometimes, but they usually do fall off themselves. So if you want to feed the birds, leave them on. If you want to have a nice, neat, tidy-looking garden, then you can go ahead and now and just cut them all off. And it doesn't matter where you cut, because that shrub just keeps growing like a weed, especially if it's in a good spot where it likes to grow, so which it sounds like in your spot there. So you've got a couple options there to do what you'd like to do.
What about some of them are dropping now, and that's fine. I can just pick them up off the ground and do what you say, leave them until I don't want to see them anymore. But what about the all the shrubby parts, all the cross branching and little branches and all that kind of, do you trim up any of that at some point?
No, you don't have to do anything really for that plant,
okay,
because you'll just prune all that stuff out and then it's going to come back again. So if anything, if you have to keep the width contained because it's growing in an area where, you know, in a direction that you don't want it to grow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too tall and you need to cut it back a bit, that's fine. But otherwise, I would just leave it alone and move on to other priorities that you have to do in the garden.
Yeah.
And leave that maybe for the on the bottom of your list of things to do. Also, I was thinking with the pomegranates, if you didn't like them too, I've taken the back end of a broom, you know, and whacked it, and you can have fun getting out some frustration that way by whacking the things, and if they fly off, fine. If they don't, then, and they're really stuck to the branch, then forget it. Move on and do something else. So,
I have another question too, listening to your last caller about roses. I've had someone tell me that you should cut off the old growth, and you're saying and leave the new growth. I was doing it the other way. I've been told you're supposed to do it. You know, I was cutting off the new growth, which I guess was wrong, and leaving the old growth. And I've been told recently to leave, to cut off the old vines that look old and wrinkly, and leave the new ones.
On climbing roses or roses in general, or what?
No, just a rose bush.
Okay, well, that would work if you planted a new rose bush. You planted a bare root rose this year. Okay, you've done all your pruning. It's looking good. There you go. Then it grows this spring. It sends out all the leaves and flowers, and it's looking great. And it's sending out maybe a couple new canes from the crown, from the base of the plant. So the crown is where all the new growth is going to come out. So next winter, you will see these new beautiful canes that had come out, and then you'll see the original ones that you that were there when you planted this bare root, okay?
Right.
So sometimes those old ones, you can cut them out. Maybe you're only going to cut one out, or maybe you cut all of them out, because you don't want all these canes coming out from the crown, the base of the crown, and then they're overcrowded and you've got too many canes and the plant's not going to grow right. Okay, so you would cut out, depending on what that old cane looks like. I mean, if it sent out a beautiful cane shoot off of that old cane, you're not going to cut it out unless you really have to, unless there's a new cane right next to it or two new canes next to it and it's too crowded. Then you're like, okay, this plant's not going to do well like this. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to cut this old cane out. Even though you grew a nice, beautiful new cane, you're going to come out. So you have some space around the around the crown for all these new canes to come out and grow beautifully. Does that make sense?
It does. But these roses are all older. They've been in the ground, you know, some for almost 40 years, and some for, you know, at least 20 years.
Okay. So then I'll continue. Now your rose is growing, and it gets to a point where it's not sending up as many new canes as it did when it was younger. Okay, he's getting older. He doesn't have the energy to do that anymore. So the canes that you have, you're happy with them. Say there's five canes coming out, old canes coming out from the crown of the plant. And from those canes, you have all the new canes coming out. And so it keeps going. It sends out new shoots all over. That's why we have to prune back what we do. So no, you're not going to cut out those old canes. Because if there are no new canes coming up to replace them, eventually you're going to have nothing. Okay? So you leave those canes alone, because that's basically the framework of your rose bush now.
Okay?
Like a fruit tree. Okay? You've got your main branches coming out. You're not going to be cutting those things back either. So same thing with this rose bush. So you will cut back only the canes that have the dark colored thorns on them. You'll see lower, those original canes will have grayish, whitish looking thorns. Don't cut into those canes, okay? They're too old to rejuvenate any new growth, any new canes from that. So go above that, and you see those nice canes that grew this year, and they've got the colored thorns. You can cut anywhere along those canes to outside facing buds, and then there you go. everybody's happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, don't cut the canes that have the dark whitish thorns on them.
No, don't cut the canes that have the whitish gray thorns.
Whitish gray, okay.
Whitish gray is old, okay? Think of gray hair. That's old.
Yeah, but you don't want to cut. Yeah, and you don't want to cut that out.
No,
I mean, I was told to cut. No, okay.
No, all because right. You have all your new growth coming off of those old canes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If it doesn't have anything on it, though, you can.
If it doesn't have any
new growth on it,
if there's no new growth and it's dying down, and you can see you're just like doing nothing, then you can cut it out because it's dead or almost dead or dying. So you can cut that out.
It's not producing. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
And then the most important thing that we have to remember, if in doubt, don't prune it. Just leave it alone. See how it grows. And then you can worry about it in the spring.
That's a lot of information to absorb. So Stacy's got to hang up and write it all down.
No, I got it. Thank you.
She's all right, Stacy.
Thank you, Stacy.
Have fun pruning.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. Good hearing from you. And a great rose tutorial. We just cleared the lines. You can reach Gwen now. No waiting. 636-1350. Instant access. All access into the KSRL Greenhouse. And of course, you can always shoot us an email anytime during the two-hour garden talk show. Steve@KSRO.com, and we'll take your emails as soon as they come into the greenhouse.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. It's a great time to plant your winter garden. We have a large selection of veggie starts, including many varieties of lettuce, broccoli, cabbage, onions, leeks, spinach, turnips, sugar snap peas, and Valencia onions, the ones they use for the blooming onions. We invite you to the nursery. Shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays. And visit our Landscape Design Center to plan your garden retreat.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Mark Patrick Hypnosis is coming to Santa Rosa tomorrow for 1 day only. Lose weight or stop smoking now through hypnosis. Join the over 500,000 people who have stopped smoking and lost weight the Mark Patrick way. Weight Loss Hypnosis Seminar tomorrow from 11 till 1. Stop Smoking Hypnosis Seminar from 2 till 4. Both are at the Flamingo Resort Hotel and Conference Center, 2777 4th Street. Registration starts 30 minutes prior to sessions. Seating is limited, so arrive early. For only $49.99, attend Learn How the Power of Hypnosis Can Help You Achieve Your Goal to Lose Weight or Stop Smoking 100% guaranteed. So whether you need to lose weight or want to stop smoking, join Mark Patrick Hypnosis tomorrow at the Flamingo Resort Hotel and Conference Center. 2777 4th Street. Doors open 30 minutes prior to seminars. Go to markpatrickseminars.com.
Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Expect light rain this afternoon, a high of 61, 56 along the coast. Also some rain overnight, about a quarter of an inch, low 50 across the county. Tomorrow's partly cloudy at 60 degrees, 55 in Bodega Bay. Monday's mostly cloudy at 60, 56 along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Yes, even though there's some incredibly gifted rosarians, certainly in California and in Portland, which is known as Rose City, USA.
Yeah.
Many people will argue that the best roses grown in the U.S. are not along the West Coast, but really in the Midwest, the South, and the Northeast, because they get, as you mentioned, summer rain, which is vital. They get cloud cover during the summer. They have that good amount of humidity. And where are the test gardens for the new roses hybrids? Not out here in the West Coast. It's in Shreveport, Louisiana. That's where the American Rose Society is based. Mm-hmm. And they have the largest rose garden in the country, 120 acres of roses. So there are a lot of challenges for growing great roses here in California, especially during the summer.
Yeah, but if you plant them in good soil with lots of organic matter and you give them regular watering and they're in full sun, then you got a good chance of doing very well with roses. And you pick a variety that doesn't get diseases when you show them a picture of it.
Barbara has a question which I don't know we can answer, but we're going to give it a try. Hi, Steve and Gwen. I have a 20-year-old pomegranate tree in the ground that finally is producing sweet fruit, and sweet is capitalized. However, the seeds inside are too small to eat without juice. The pomegranate at the grocery store, they have huge seeds with lots of juice. How can I make them more succulent? I don't know.
The seeds are too small to eat without juice?
They don't have any juice, I guess she's saying, in the seed itself.
I don't eat the seeds. Well, let's see. Wait a minute. Read that again. However, the seeds inside are too small to eat without juice. So I'm not sure. Okay. So the pomegranates in at the store, they have huge seeds with lots. Okay. So juice. Hers don't have any juice in them. It sounds like small seeds and no juice. I wonder if it's in sun all day long.
In which variety she planted?
Yeah, but they all should produce, you know, some nice juicy pomegranates. How often are you watering? Is this tree getting any water at all? And 20 years old. Wow. To wait that long. And that's pretty good. I would have chopped them down a long time ago and replanted. The varieties that you see in the store are usually one called Wonderful. That's been around for 100 years, and it's the biggest, easiest variety to grow. It takes a lot of different growing conditions, but pomegranates love heat in order for them to be sweet. But she said that hers were finally sweet, but too small to eat without juice. I don't get that.
Yeah, maybe you could elaborate a little more exactly what you mean by that.
Yeah.
As far as increasing the succulence of the seeds, I don't know.
How can I make them more succulent?
Okay.
I'm going to say more water. You know, put compost on top of the ground, give them a good deep watering at least once a month. They are a little drought tolerant, but this guy must be not getting any water whatsoever, and he's not even thinking about making any big juicy fruit because he just gets enough water in the root system to keep the leaves growing and the branches on and staying alive. So he's not going to think about putting his energy towards fruit. That would be my guess.
Okay, Barbara, if that doesn't do it for you, send us a follow-up email. We'll take more questions and comments at 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. You can reach us live in the greenhouse or always shoot us an email, at steve@ksro.com. We're going to tackle a lemon question when we get back.
KSRO is online at ksro.com. Streaming powered by Hudson Street Design, a Healdsburg Lumber company.
Hello, Stan Klaus, Crandall Roofing here. You know, during the 14 years that I've owned and operated Crandall Roofing, we have constantly tried to improve our ability to meet our customers' roofing needs. We started as a smaller residential company doing mainly houses and composition shingles. Now we have grown to a full residential and commercial company capable of doing not only composite shingles, but also tile, metal, commercial flat systems, and sprayed roof coatings. Now here in 2020, I'm pleased to announce that we are adding a repair and maintenance division. That means we will now have the capacity to not only re-roof quickly, but we will have the ability to repair and maintain commercial and residential roofs all year long. So whatever your roofing needs are, repair or replace, residential or commercial, you only need to know one name. That's Crandall Roofing. Just give us a call at 586-2500 or find us on the web at crandallroofing.com.
Over 5,500 people in the greater Bay Area have trusted the re-roofing of their home to Crandall Roofing. Shouldn't you? Call 586-2500.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Viljoen. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Viljoen, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Viljoen, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
Atlas Pavers is now open in Santa Rosa, offering design and build services by highly trained expert personnel. Their goal is to exceed their clients' expectations on time and in budget. From paver driveways, decks, and patios to outdoor kitchens and fire pits. To support our community, Atlas Pavers is giving back to the rebuilding efforts of Mark West and Coffee Park by donating 3% of every job to the Fire Rebuild Neighborhood Projects. Schedule a free design consultation. Call 707-204-0255. Online at atlaspaversco.com.
Each spring, colorful poppies grow and bloom throughout Sonoma County. Poppy Bank, celebrating 15 years of service, has also grown with 15 branches throughout California and thousands of satisfied customers. For businesses, Poppy Bank provides services that meet your individual needs because we want to see your business bloom. Visit us online at poppy.bank, one of the largest commercial banks in Sonoma County. Member FDIC.
We invite you to stick around to the 11 o'clock hour as we move from the greenhouse over to the KSRO kitchen, where we will encounter Chef John Ash, and we'll also encounter Yale professor Paul Friedman, American cuisine and how it got that way. He's a terrific writer. We had Paul on about 5-6 years ago for a landmark book called The 10 Restaurants That Changed American Cuisine. I know you'll find him stimulating. From Sudan, she emails, "Hi, Steve and Gwen. Thanks for being there every Saturday morning for us. I want to transplant my dwarf lemon tree from a rotting half oak barrel to a larger galvanized trough. What do I put on the bottom of the trough before I put in the soil? Can I put the whole rotting oak barrel with the tree into the trough with new soil or just the tree? Where's the best time? What's the best time to do this and for the best results?" So that's the first question.
Wow. Okay. if that lemon has to come out of the container now, and then, okay, you have to do it now. If you can wait until spring after the last expected frost date, That way you know it's not going to have any issues with you've disturbed the root system now and it's too cold and rainy. And lemons, you know, citrus don't like the cold weather. They especially don't like the frost. So you're going to have to do a lot of protecting for this tree. So if you can wait until spring to do this, I would. But if you can't, let's just assume she can't because she wrote this nice, wonderful question. The galvanized trough that you're putting it in, is it one of those deep ones that's like 2.5 feet deep and it's a big, giant size? And if you're going to plant it in that, are you going to plant anything else with it? So if you are, you're going to have to make sure that planter has holes drilled in the bottom of it and make sure it's not sitting on top of the ground where all those drainage holes are going to get plugged up. And then your soil doesn't drain, and then you're going to have problems. So you might want to put it on some kind of hard surface where the drainage holes will work, and then the soil, you know, the rain can, water can drain out of the soil. So say you're going to go ahead and plant that lemon tree in there. Don't put anything in the bottom of the container. There's an old wives' tale about putting rocks and broken pottery and all kinds of stuff in there. It's not necessary. So the only thing is that you're putting in this, if you're only putting in this lemon tree, that's a lot of soil if it's a big container for one plant. But so I have a few questions. Let's just assume then that you're going to plant some other things in there with this lemon tree. Do not put the rotten wine barrel in with it. You'll just have to break it all apart as best you can and then cut those wire straps and lift out that lemon tree. Fill it up with a good planting mix, first of all, and tamp it down so you're not going to have the whole thing sink on you after you've got your tree planted. So tamp it all down, fill it up with at least 2/3 of the way of soil. Have somebody help you. Who knows how many people you're going to need to lift up the whole plant, root ball and all intact, and just gently lift it and put it into the container. And make sure that you leave a few inches from the top of the container for, you know, room for water or other plants or whatnot. You don't want to fill up this container all the way to the top with soil. Like I said, leave a few inches from the top. Tamp down the soil around the root ball and protect it from the freezing cold that we might be getting, because you could kill your lemon tree if you do that, if you do this transplanting now without protecting it as best you can.
Okay.
So like I said, if you can wait until springtime when the weather warms up, then you don't have to worry about protecting it through the cold winter.
And you could call us back or email us back at that time and we'll repeat those same directions. And the second part of your question was about spraying, but she's saying copper onto her plum and apple tree, and how many days of rain-free weather do we need for application? So there's two parts of this question. First of all, why would she be spraying copper on her apple?
No, you're not going to spray copper. You don't spray anything on your apple trees.
Yes.
They don't need anything. Your plum tree, if it has had some disease issues in the past, shot hole fungus, bacterial blast, bacterial cankers, anything like that, then maybe you can justify spraying copper on the plum. But if it didn't have any problems, you don't need to spray your plum tree either.
Okay.
So,
and you need
and you
several
need,
days of dry weather, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, at least 3 days, if not longer. The more days, obviously, the better the product's going to stay on your plant. Use a spreader sticker to help keep the product on the plant instead of it washing off in case it does. We do get some unexpected rain, but 3 days or longer with no rain if you're going to spray.
There's your answer, Sudan. Barbara emailed us again a follow-up about her pomegranate tree. She says, yes, Gwen, you did understand my question. I want my pomegranate seeds to be bigger and juicier. The tree gets drip irrigation 3 times a week, but I don't give it deep watering. Did you say, Gwen, to water once a month for deeper watering? The same amount of water I do, the drip, is sufficient for my figs and persimmon production.
Well, then if it's sufficient for those two trees, the fig and the persimmon, then that should be good enough for the pomegranate.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that's just the variety of the pomegranate that she has, that she planted or whoever planted 20 years ago. So that might be all that tree is going to do. But if you want to do an experiment, since you've lived with this tree for 20 years, give it a little bit more water during the growing season. Once the fruit is starting to grow, give it a good deep watering once a month in addition to what you're doing.
Okay.
See if that additional water through the growing season will help plump up those seeds and get some bigger fruits. And you have to depend on a nice warm weather to continue to get the sweetness and see if it does make a change in the fruit. If not, my bet is that that's the variety of that. I don't think they, they don't graft those things. So it's not the root system coming up. It could have been something that maybe somebody planted a seed. Maybe it came from a seed and that's
anyway,
what it is.
That's your question. And there's your answer for now, Barbara, and we could continue for next week.
Okay.
Phil, we have to apologize. We're not going to be able to get to your call. You're on hold. You did send us some photos, but we're plumb out of time. It's been a busy couple hours. So I promise next week we'll start with your questions. We'll save this via email, and I hope you can join us next week, Phil. And again, apologies.